Please be seated. And Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, said, Go and say to this people, Keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand. Make the mind of this people dull, and stop their ears and shut their eyes, so that they may not look with their eyes, and listen with their ears, and comprehend with their minds, and turn and be healed. Then I said, How long, O Lord? The more I studied and prepared and wrestled with the scriptures this week, the more my mind was drawn to Isaiah. I belong to a lectionary study group that meets at St. Andrew's in Canton with, let's see, 3 Episcopalians when we all come, 2 Presbyterians, about 4 or 5 Methodists, and 1 good Baptist pastor. And we've been meeting and studying the lectionary readings since 1996. It's amazing. That group just keeps going on and on and on. No matter how many clergy change out and come and go, you know, the Methodists just come and go. They're like every 4 years and they're gone. But it's a great study. And this week, we could not get beyond Isaiah. We never got to Paul. We never got to Luke. Because we kept wondering about this passage. You know, the first part of this Isaiah reading is so often appointed for ordinations. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. And there were seraphim. And Isaiah, the priest of Jerusalem, was frightened because he knew that to be in the presence of the Holy One of Israel was an awesome thing. Only Moses had done so, really, in that tradition and in that history. But he saw Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, in the temple. And he knew how far he was from the holiness of God. And so he says, Woe to me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips, and yet I have seen the Lord. And the seraphim took a live coal from the altar and a pair of tongs and seared his lips, thus cleansing them, took away his guilt, took away his sin, and prepared him to be a messenger. Isaiah was not looking to be a prophet, I'm sure. He was not looking to have this vision, but it came to him unbidden. And these things happened to him. And so the question in his mind must have been, What now must I do? So God asked him, Whom will I send? Who will go for us? Isaiah probably looked around and saw he was the only one there. Here am I. Send me. And then God gives him this message that I'm sure he did not want to hear, and I'm sure that the people did not want to hear. It was sort of a nice golden time during the reign of Uzziah. Things were going swimmingly. Everyone thought, hey, we're God's covenant people. Nothing can happen to us. God loves us more than anybody else in the world. Nothing can happen to us. That the storm clouds were on the horizon. Nebuchadnezzar and the armies of Babylon were on the march. And in 586 BC, they took Jerusalem. They burned it to the ground. Not one stone was left upon another. The Ark of the Covenant disappeared forever, as far as we know. It might be in Ethiopia. The Christians there believe they have it. I would love to see it. I don't know about y'all. But everything they knew, temple worship was ended. The priesthood ceased to function. There was no altar. Therefore, there could be no sacrifice. There was no Holy of Holies left. And they were carted away, and the land was laid waste. And for two generations, they sojourned in Babylon. So, was Isaiah just sent with this particular message? Keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand. Make the mind of his people dull. Stop their ears, shut their eyes, so that they may not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and comprehend with their minds and turn to be healed. Was that just for the Israelite of the 6th century BCE? Or is this message for us? It's an interesting question, isn't it? If we say that this is a living and active word, then we must posit that it speaks to all people in all generations, in all places, all the time. So we must come to the text and deal with the questions that the text raises. Where are we in Isaiah's story? Where are we sitting here this morning? Do we have a vision of the Most High? Do we come to worship expecting an encounter with the Holy One? I want to tell you, if you come here expecting an encounter with the Holy One, you will have one. And if you have such an encounter, you know in your heart and in your mind that you cannot have such an encounter and not be transformed by it. An encounter with the Holy One of Israel, with the one whom Jesus called Abba, Father, the one whom Paul worshipped, will transform you and me, hopefully, if we will allow it. You know, that's the danger of free will, isn't it? Free will in humans is a two-edged sword on its best day. We always get to choose, don't we? We always get to choose. I think it was Plato who said, to know the good is to do the good. Yeah, right, Plato. Yeah, we get that, don't we? To know what is right is always to do what is right. It's illogical to do otherwise, isn't it? So why do we not do it when we know what it is? That's a question to ponder, is it not? Isaiah understood his own brokenness. Woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Had a wonderful parishioner at St. Andrew's Canton, Blessed Terry Rose, who is now in heaven. And she volunteered to help in the office. And sometimes I would just get irritated at stuff. I know John never does or never has been. And sometimes I would say something that I shouldn't have said. And Terry would say, do you kiss your mama with that mouth?
That's sort of how Isaiah must have felt. A man of unclean lips in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And yet I have seen the Lord of hosts and lived, and he lived because God had something for him to do. Who will go for us? Who will I send? Well, I'm the only one here. I guess it's me. I would probably say, is there anybody else up there? Can I get a second opinion, Lord? But that's the thing about being called and commissioned, isn't it? We rarely seek it, but it falls on us. And then we have to respond. Now, I know we talk about clergy receiving the call. When did you know you were called, Father? Hear that a lot. I want to ask you, when did you know you were called, members of Grace Church? When did you know you were called? When did God speak to you and say, who will go for us? Who will I send? Because the call is not restricted to people that wear plastic collars. The call falls on all of God's people all the time. God is always seeking servants. God is always seeking messengers. Someone has to bear the good news. How do we know if we don't hear? How do we hear unless someone tells us? Paul says that faith comes by hearing, right? The word is planted first in our ears and makes its way to our hearts and to our minds. And the function of that implanted word is to transform us, to change us, to keep us from going one way so that we might turn completely around and go a new way, the way of God. As long as we follow the way of ego, as long as we follow the path of our own desires, we're not listening. We're not paying attention. Make the mind of this people dull and stop their ears and shut their eyes. Let them be complacent. Let them just think things are going along swimmingly and everything's going to be all right because Jesus loves us best, right? Doesn't Jesus love us the best? There was a funny song came out a long time ago. I heard it spoken in a sermon at Dawson Convention. That something said something like, Jesus loves me, but he can't stand you. We can slip into that kind of thinking easily, can't we? We can divide the world up into people that Jesus loves and people that Jesus doesn't love. And if Jesus doesn't love them, why in the world would we? That kind of exercise of free will get you into deep trouble. Because there is no us or them in the kingdom of God. It's all us. Everywhere. Everyone. All the time. It's all us. There's nobody but us. Us meaning us human beings. We Homo sapiens. Why can't we get it through our heads and into our hearts that there is no separation amongst human beings except the ones that we create, the ones that we choose to exercise, the walls that we build? Do you think the Holy One of Israel built those walls? Do you think Jesus encouraged the construction of walls that separate human beings one from another? Do you think the Apostle Paul, who left the covenant community of Israel, although he never really left it, he was never converted to another religion. We have this feast called the conversion of St. Paul, but he was not converted. He just got a new set of interpretive lens when those things like scales fell off of his eyes in Damascus, so that he could read and comprehend Torah with a new lens of interpretation. And the lens of interpretation that Paul received in that Damascus experience was the lens of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And now he could see. And now he could understand. And now he could hear. And now he could proclaim. As an apostle. Apostolos. One who is sent. One who is sent with a message. In secular Greek, it functioned as a term for what we might call an ambassador plenipotentiary, an ambassador with full powers to speak with the authority of the one who sent him. That's what apostle means. You've been given a message, you go and proclaim it with the full authority of the one who sent you. Paul, like Isaiah, knew he was not worthy of this commission. Unfit to be called an apostle, he says of himself, for I persecuted the church of God. And yet by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, you are what you are. By the grace of God, we are what we are. We are who we are. And we have to remember always exactly who it is that we are. First and foremost, who are we? I don't know about y'all. I'm a sinner saved by grace. That's who I am. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. Warts and all, and sometimes potty mouth. And sometimes I do kiss my mama with that mouth. But we are in process of becoming more, because the transformational gift of Holy Spirit lives in each and every one of us. And God is calling each and every one of us to be no longer complacent, but to remember our baptismal covenants. Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? I will, with God's help, right? Will you respect the dignity of every human being? I will, with God's help. Because I have received God's help. And you have received God's help. The grace of God lives in you and in me, so that we might go forth with the message. We don't have to stand on a street corner and beat a Bible and preach. Wasn't it Francis who said, proclaim the gospel at all times and whenever necessary, use words? Proclaim the gospel by how you live, how you act, how you serve, because you bear the message. You are apostolos. You are ambassadors, as we all are. Not just the clergy, but every one of the baptized. Jesus was teaching by the lake, sitting in a boat. And Simon and James and John are standing by the shore washing their nets after fishing all night and catching nothing. Probably pretty despondent, right? They were commercial fishermen. If they didn't catch, they didn't eat. They didn't sell what they caught. Their families might go hungry. So they were washing their nets, getting ready for the next outing. And Jesus tells Simon, put out the deep water and put down your nets for a catch. Lord, we've been out all night long. I'm a professional commercial fisherman. I know my business, right? If we didn't catch anything last night, we're not going to catch anything this morning. But because you have asked me, I'll do it. And you see what happens. More fish than the nets can hold. They have to call another boat. Both boats are beginning to swamp with the weight of the fish that's been put into them. And what is Simon's response to Jesus? Get away from me, Lord. Get away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Just like Isaiah in the temple. Just like Paul. We all know that we're not worthy of the calling that we receive. We all know that none of us are worthy to stand at that table or to stand here and proclaim. None of us are worthy. It doesn't make any difference whether we're worthy or not. What makes the difference is that we're beloved. And if we know that we're beloved, we can begin to open our eyes and open our ears and open our minds and comprehend what's going on around us. And by the transformational grace of God, begin to do something about it. I think too often we Christians, myself included, live in a world of Pollyannish theological amnesia. Everything could be okay. I'll just sit here and watch reruns of NCIS and everything's going to be okay. But sometimes it's not going to be okay. And that's when the call comes. And that's when the commissioning comes. To be commissioned is to be in mission with. We have chosen, all of us together, to be in mission with God through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. We have, every one of us, been commissioned. We have, every one of us, been called. We have, every one of us, been empowered and given spiritual gifts to help Jesus in the transformation of the world and of human society. We can't afford to be complacent any longer. Just as the people in Isaiah's Jerusalem really couldn't afford to be complacent. Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians were on the march. And we can just sit here thinking it's all going to work out just fine. They got carted off for two generations to Babylon. And the temple was destroyed. And the land laid waste. There's always a superpower on the march. There's always an empire that's rising and an empire that's falling. But the word of God to change the world persists forever, because the word of God that changes the world lives in you and in me. And it's powerful, and it's transformative, and it's effective. If we choose to let it work. So what do y'all say? You ready to enlist? We'll have papers in the parish hall. You can sign up. You've already enlisted because God has enlisted you. God has written your name down in the book of life and transformed you by grace to help make this world a better place, because that's why Jesus came. Amen.